Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
What's in a number? 3.1 billion or 2.8 billion? Now that's the difference between what was originally planned for next month's budget and what might now be on the cards. But they are, to most of us anyway, pretty abstract figures. What's the difference in practical terms? Well, Philip Boucher-Hayes has been examining whether any of us are likely to notice anything if it's one figure and not the other. Philip, to make this real, give us a concrete example of what this money might mean.
This is all very hypothetical and just for illustrative purposes because, as you well know, this figure of 3.1 billion of an adjustment has been on the cards since we entered the programme, and the fact that this 300 million comes up now doesn't give as much wriggle room as you might think, because there is no way that any one section of society or any one government department are going to actually benefit from it if they do make the decision not to make that adjustment. So for illustrative purposes, if it were one department that was to actually be on the receiving end of this, this is a kind of how much money we're talking about. We know that Joan Burton is looking for 440 million out of the social protection budget. Now, if at present you were to apply that 440 million across the board to everybody who's in receipt of a pension, a carer's allowance, disability allowance, job seeker's allowance or benefit, what you would be looking at there would be a 2.6% cut to any and all of those payments. If you were to apply it just to those of working age, as in basically just those who are on the dole, you'd be talking about a pretty savage 4.1%. That'd be just under €8 a week off the job seeker's allowance or benefit. And that would end up being the third cut of that kind of magnitude since we had fallen on hard times. Now, if you were to take this 300 million and you were to apply it in its entirety against the social protection adjustment, they'd obviously only have to be looking at 140 million. And according to figures that I've got from the Department of Finance, you would then be looking at taking 1.5% instead of 2.6% or 4.1% of all people of working age. That would work out at about €2.80 a week as opposed to the €7.70 or just under €8. I asked Breed O'Brien from the Irish National Organisation of the Unemployed, what were the arguments in applying any or all savings to social protection as opposed to spreading it about?
Basically, the expenditure that department undertakes for an awful lot of people is their sole income. And so we really will be talking about impoverishing people who are already struggling on a daily basis. And the reality is that all of that income goes back out into the wider economy. So not only would it have a negative impact on the individual and families concerned, it would also have an impact on local shops and other service providers, because people would have less disposable income than they currently have.
There is a feeling within quite wide government circles now that it needs to be made more attractive for people to get off the dole and back out to work.
The reality is we don't have enough work out there for everybody who is seeking work. And that's what we need to address. We need to address job creation.
So apply the 300 million to job activation schemes.
Job activation schemes are very useful. They can give people an outlet, an opportunity to either reskill or to maintain their existing skills. But at the end of them, there needs to be something. So we still need to get the job creation right.
So that was social protection. Let's look at some of the other departments. We know that health will be looking for another bailout, so there's no cuts to be avoided there. Where does that leave the other big one, education?
There's a leaked document from within the Department of Education that the Sunday Business Post got its hands on during the weekend, and it suggested that education was in line for €100 million of cuts. Now, there were 75 different ways listed that they could get to that figure, but amongst the most obvious, and I understand amongst those that were most favoured, would be a further change to pupil-teacher ratios and a 10% cut in SNA, special needs assistance numbers. Now, those two things alone would get Rory Quinn over the line. But, and this just goes to show you how fast budget politics is moving at the moment, the rumbling in the undergrowth now is that the combination of needing to allow Labour a victory and the unpopularity of hitting up to 1,000 teacher jobs at national school level means that education is highly unlikely to have cuts of that magnitude imposed. We could now be talking about 20 or 30 million as opposed to 100 million, which would be the second budget in a row in which Rory Quinn would have done incredibly well for himself.
The government is still looking for public sector redundancies. So how many jobs would the 300 million save?
OK, again, this is another highly hypothetical argument, because there is already a figure laid out and set down in detail in Haddington Road, and we're talking about another 4,000 jobs by the end of 2014. But let's just take this 300 million of wriggle room. Each 1,000 public sector jobs that the government tries to cut through wastage or voluntary redundancies and retirement packages and so on costs it 110 million. So they could hold on to roughly 3,000 jobs, but we'd only be talking about for a year, and for the year that this 300 million applies. Now, this is not a good thing if you're of the opinion that a billion a month overspend needs to be slashed any which way you can in the short term. It is a good thing from Unite the Union's perspective, though. Michael Taft, who was citing, he wasn't making up figures here, he was citing ESRI research, which he believes shows that cutting public sector jobs is actually a drain on the economy in the long term and is only rectified by increased emigration.
Cutting public sector numbers is the most damaging, because you are actually cutting employment out of the economy at a time when businesses are still struggling to generate jobs. In fact, it is so damaging that the ESRI estimates show that the savings is so little, the GDP is cut by so much, that actually the burden of the debt increases. And this is something that, you know, a number of economists have been trying to intervene into the debate with, that cutting does not equal savings. That actually, if you cut in the wrong place and you cut too much, you will so drive down growth that it will overwhelm the savings that you make, and you'll just end up driving up the debt burden. Just one caveat, the ESRI does show that after about 6 years, after cutting public sector numbers, that the debt will start to fall. But that is a contingent upon emigration increasing by even at a higher rate than it increases now.
But Philip, we made a promise, and there's the Troika. We said we were going to cut by 3.1 billion. We're committed to cutting by 3.1 billion, and the Troika expects it. Stick to the programme.
And whatever about the Troika, what about the markets? Imagine the headlines the day after, in fact, just a half an hour after Michael Noonan makes his budget announcement. There are going to be, if we do this, headlines somewhere along the lines of Ireland reneges on some of its austerity promises. And to the people in the pinstripe suits and the loud, brash braces, that might end up having a negative impact. And we might just see the interest rates that kept us out of the financial markets for so long creeping back up a little bit. By how much? Who knows, though? Because the flip side of that argument is that if any country has shown that it pays back its debts over the course of the last 5 years, it would be this country. I discussed this with Alan Barrett, who's a member of the government's Economic Advisory Council, and he said, yeah, look, we have proven ourselves a pretty good bet in the last 5 years to make good on our debts.
It's an interesting question, and to a certain extent, we won't know the answer, on that until the day after, and we see how exactly the markets react. I certainly think it's a somewhat risky strategy to move away from the 3.1 billion. I think Ireland has done itself a huge amount of credit in the last number of years because we've shown the capacity to bring the public finances, into line, and it's been a tremendously difficult process, but we have achieved it, or well on the way to achieving it. I think anything that sends a signal now that we're weakening in the resolve to get the public finances in order could be viewed quite negatively. Now, as I said, it's an experiment, and we'll have to see what happens. Given the amounts of money that you're talking about, this is again back to the 300 million rather. It's probably not going to make an enormous difference, but as a result, certainly, if I was making the decision, I'd probably err on the cautious side and stick with the programme.
So he'd stick with the programme. Now, would 300 million of tax increases not being applied, would that make a noticeable difference?
It would depend on what kind of tax we're talking about. Obviously, 300 million in the income tax bill would be a bit of a drop in the ocean. In other areas of tax, it might actually be noticed. There's two different schools of thought, as there nearly always is approaching budget time, on what should happen on the tax front this time out. Alan Barrett, again, as I said, the Economic Advisory Council member, says extend the tax break, the tax base, and bring many of the less well-off into the tax net.
You know, in Ireland, over a long period of time, there was a real effort to get people out of the tax net, a situation where there were people with, you know, with low incomes were not paying tax at all. And that got us to that situation now where, as I said, a lot of people at the lower end don't actually pay income tax. So one way of sort of spreading the burden would be to start taxing at the lower end. But, I mean, as you'll appreciate, politically, that just tends not to happen.
But the unions now are also shortly going to call for a wealth tax to be introduced. Now, I understand that the maths of what they're looking for is as follows. They say that the top 10% of earners having an extra 1.5% attached to the marginal rate of tax would generate 400 million euro in a year. I detect a frustration on their part in the unions that this debate is now being defined in terms of should the adjustment be 3.1 or 2.8, particularly when they maintain that there is a credible and costed advantage to abandoning the adjustments altogether at this point in time. Michael Taft's argument is that the multiplier effect of what would remain in the economy makes it worthwhile saying we go from 3.1 to zero.
By abandoning the spending cuts, we will actually be giving the economy a mini-stimulus. The projections made for us by the Nevin Economic and Research Institute show that consumer spending could rise by €1 billion if there were no spending cuts. Employment could grow by 17,000. And that is why we would still be able to make the target, because when the economy grows even faster than what is projected, the deficit can still fall. So it's not a question of, well, should we cut social protection or health and education? Don't cut current spending, the overall target. However, that doesn't mean that you don't reform and you don't find better ways to use that money.
Michael Taft there of Unite, ending that report from Philip Boucher-Hayes. Later on.